This is debt and credit expert Jen Lee with Debt Therapy. We are here to talk about all things financial that the world forgot to teach us.
Hello, everyone. This is Jen Lee with Debt Therapy. And today we are talking about stigma and embarrassment, especially when it comes to financial problems. I see a lot of people who think they're alone. A lot of people who think no one else has these problems, that no one else possibly could be struggling with finances. And so they keep it all bottled up inside. And the idea that there's the stigma around debt and credit really prevents people from finding out what their options are. And that drives me crazy, because so many of those things can be solved if you just ask for help. And so whenever I talk to someone and they tell me, well, I don't really want to have anyone know about this. I don't want anyone to know that I'm struggling with this because I'm embarrassed that I'm in this situation. And a lot of times I have to explain to them that not only are they in that situation, but probably 60 or 70% of the people they're around are in the exact same situation, and no one's talking about it because they're embarrassed, which I get. I understand that it's hard to be in a situation where you have credit card debt, or you have, you know, a mortgage that you're behind on, or just don't know how to balance your checkbook. Because honestly, and that's kind of what debt therapy, our podcast and our book is all about, is the idea that there's so many things out there that we're never really taught. We're not taught in schools. Our parents either did a really good job or a really poor job of teaching us. And a lot of it's not their fault either, because they were never taught. So it's kind of like a generational stigma and embarrassment of financial issues, because no one was ever really taught how to deal with it. And we're encouraged not to talk about money problems. We're encouraged not to talk about our salaries. So we're very much discouraged from talking about any of this stuff. And so when I talk about it, and when I'm going through debt therapy with people, that stigma really holds people back. And that embarrassment, really, I struggle with that with clients, to try to get through to them that a lot of people have these problems. And there is some really bad information out there on the internet with options that are available to people and what you don't want to do and what you do want to do. And I'm, for one example, I get Google alerts every day on articles with words like debt, financial stress, credit cards, whatever I can think of that is trending in social media or in articles and that kind of thing. I usually put a Google alert out for it to see what's out there. And a lot of times I will find articles that are just plain wrong. They have bad information. If people followed the advice in these articles, they would go down a really bad path. And I see it a lot of times, because people will come in and they'll say, oh yeah, for a year I've been trying such and such a program, and now I'm in worse shape than I was a year ago because I thought this was the way to go. And so bad information on the internet contributes to that stigma, because a lot of those news sources and a lot of the articles are written from the standpoint that debt is bad, bankruptcy is bad, everything you're doing is bad. And it's not so much that it's bad, it's that you have to find a way to make it work. And recently I had a very reputable publication reach out to me, and they wanted me to post an article on my website as a resource. And it was about Chapter 7 bankruptcy. And I read through it, because I'm not posting anything on my website that I haven't, you know, vetted and reviewed thoroughly. And the article was just wrong. And it was supposedly written by someone who was a researcher who had looked into all of this. And I'm like, where did you research this information? Because your information about Chapter 7, that's not how it works. And so they were, first of all, they were offended that I tore their article apart, of course. But it just goes to show that whatever you're reading, and it can be a very great publication, and it still may be wrong. I hear over and over and over from people that they read the bankruptcy, they don't qualify for bankruptcy, you can never buy a house, you can't buy a house for 10 years, all kinds of bad information that had they gotten good advice and talked to a professional or figured out just what their options were, there's ways to do that without Googling how to do something. But that leads to this whole stigma and embarrassment, because that misinformation makes people feel that they're alone. It makes you feel like, well, everyone else is using this information to solve their problems. Why isn't it working for me? And it can be very disheartening. The other side of that is, what will people think? And I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's really expensive here. And I think living anywhere is expensive, but there are some pockets of the country where when you're looking at an apartment and your rent is going from $3,000 to $5,000 a month, and you make $60,000 a year, it's a little ridiculous. It's expensive to live places. But then on top of the living costs, you also have, what are all your friends and what are your neighbors buying? And it seems like we do a lot of keeping up with whoever's around us. And I know the phrase is keeping up with the Joneses, but I feel really bad for the Jones sometimes because everyone's trying to keep up with them. And that stress of trying to keep up. And what's really funny is all of the people trying to keep up with each other are more than likely in the same financial situation, and they're just driving themselves deeper and deeper into dire straits with their finances, trying to keep up with other people who are in the same situation. So one thing to think about when you're talking about debt, finances, credit, what you can afford, what your friends, and is stop thinking about what other people will think. Stop focusing on what will so-and-so think about me if I, you know, don't have credit card debt, or if I go through bankruptcy, or if I solve my problems, what are they going to think about me when I tell them I can't go out to eat tonight because, you know, we're on a budget and we're sticking to it. You don't have to tell people that. You don't have to tell people that the reason why you can't go out to eat for dinner is that you're on a budget. You can simply say, no, that doesn't work for us. So I think a lot of times people spend so much time and energy explaining to people so they don't think that you're in trouble, that it becomes more of a stress than anything else. So as far as keeping up with friends and family, and think of yourself, I guess is my main point with that, is what is best for you and your immediate family, your household, what's best for you? And then do those things and don't focus so much on what other people will think. Because honestly, they're so concerned about what other people will think that they're not even focusing on you. Everyone's worried about themselves, but they're making it look like they're all worried about everyone else. So one thing that clients will often say after we meet, and we're talking about stigma, and we're talking about embarrassment, and we're going through options, and we're trying to figure out what they can do, is the feeling that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think when you're stuck in that stigma and embarrassment, like feeling of having debt and credit and no one talking about it and financial stress, and you're not even sure where to turn to, is it feels very overwhelming. And it feels like you're never going to escape from it and you don't know where to turn. And I love that feeling of there being a light at the end of the tunnel. And I can see that light sometimes in my clients' eyes when we start talking. And that is the best feeling, because when you're stuck in that stigma cycle of, oh, I can't do anything about this. What are people going to think of me? What if I can't, you know, go out and buy that brand new car that everyone else is buying? When you start seeing that there are ways for you to work your finances that it works for you and your family, that light is one of the best feelings in the world. And to get to that light, I often tell people, you have to ask for help if you need it. There are some things that you can do yourself. And one really specific thing that I see people doing is everyone tries to follow a same plan. They think they can buy it out of a box, and that this is how you have to budget, and this is how you have to do things. I'm a big proponent of the right program is the one that you're actually going to follow. Because if you have someone telling you, you can't contribute to retirement, you have to pay off this, or you're not supposed to be doing that, or you're not supposed to be doing this, that doesn't work for a lot of people. You have to find the program that works for you. And asking for help or finding that program can help lead to that light at the end of the tunnel. Because First of all, the stigma and embarrassment, going back to that, is you don't want to ask for help because you don't want anyone to know you're struggling with this. So overcoming that and finding out what works for you is the best feeling in the world. And I'm, again, a big proponent of finding out what apps work, what types of budgeting. There's all kinds of budgeting tools out there. There are all kinds of software. There are all kinds of programs that you can use. But if you're never going to log into them and you're never going to actually follow it, it's not the right one for you. So my advice on finding that light at the end of the tunnel is to figure out individually what works for you and what makes sense for your family. Again, because if you're never going to use it and you're just going to ignore it, it's going to make you feel worse. It's going to be more embarrassing that you had a program, you had something you were supposed to follow and you didn't do it. So then you start this downward cycle or downward spiral into what are people going to think when they figure out that I couldn't even dig myself out of this when I had a handmade, you know, platter handed to me with the program. Social media too. So let's talk about stigma and embarrassment in social media. I always talk about the Facebook phenomenon where you go onto Facebook and you see everyone talking about how great their lives are and they just went to Maui last week and they bought a new car. Social media really plays into the stigma and embarrassment feeling because you see all those people posting how great their lives are and you think, what am I doing wrong? Why are all these people, you know, so successful? And I'm just, you know, muddling through everyday life, trying to keep up with credit card payments and balance my checkbook. People don't go on social media and post about their financial issues. Generally speaking, there are exceptions to every rule. So you don't know that the person who just went to Maui and bought the new car did it all on credit, that they're worried about being able to make the payments. You don't see that. And so you really have to turn off comparing yourself to others on social media. I find that people and their thoughts and the psychology of what people post on social media is very interesting because when you're friends with people and you actually do start to get an insight into some of the problems they have, you're like, well, that's interesting because what you're posting on social media is the exact opposite of what your actual struggles are in life. So unless you know someone's being super honest and super straightforward about their finances, please don't compare yourself to someone else on social media. And then please avoid Googling for information for a one-size-fits-all approach. My biggest advice on the stigma, embarrassment, and keeping up with the Joneses, again, sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, is don't worry about what other people are going to think of you if you ask for help. The stress of not doing something and not understanding what you're working on. And I get people all the time that will come into my office and they're like, I'm so embarrassed. I don't even know how to check my interest rate. I don't even know what an interest rate is. I don't know what my car loan terms are. Or I have a mortgage and I have no idea how much of its principal, interest, and property taxes in the payment. That's okay if you're going to admit that you need help with it. It's not okay to keep ignoring it and hoping it goes away. Sticking your head in the sand and hoping it goes away is not the best strategy. Almost any other strategy is better than that. So the biggest piece of advice I have when it comes to stigma and embarrassment, when it comes to financial issues, is ask for help. Either find a program that works for you, find an app that works for you, schedule a session with someone who can go through what your options are when you're dealing with debt and credit, and keep asking for help. If you can't stick to whatever plan you've come up with a financial coach or with someone who's helping you, tell them that or find a new program. It's okay to switch a few times. There are lots of people out there giving advice on debt and credit and financial stress. I'm not the only one giving advice on it. I'm not the only one who talks about it. But I am talking about the stigma and embarrassment that people have when it comes to debt and credit. And the reason why I'm talking about it is because if I don't talk about it, people think they're alone. Bottom line, you are not alone. 70% of the country is in the exact same situation you're in with different degrees. And if you want to solve it and you want to get ahead, there are ways to do that. And there are very supportive groups out there that will help you with your financial issues. So thank you for listening. It's a little bit of ranting and raving today on stigma and embarrassment, but I see a lot of problems out there caused by people who won't ask for help because they're embarrassed and thinking they're the only ones. And you're not alone. I'm Jen Lee, and this is Debt Therapy. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, visit us at mydebttherapy.com or on our Facebook page, Debt Therapy. We would love to connect and help out on your financial journey.